This is the Infinite Receiving Podcast, helping conscious leaders tap into a wealth of abundance across all areas of your life and business. I'm Susie Ashworth, and I'll be sharing with you how you can upgrade your reality through quantum transformation, because you are ready for infinite receiving. Gorgeous human being, it is Susie Ashworth here, and you are listening to the Infinite Receiving Podcast. And I'm happy. I am happy as a piggy in poo-poo. And it feels really good to be back in your earbuds once again. And I've got a good one for you today, actually. I want to talk to you about the power of being willing to have difficult conversations. I can't remember the first time I heard it said. It didn't really sink in, to be honest, but it was something like the quality of your life / the level of success you can experience in your life and or business is directly correlated to your willingness to have difficult conversations. And I kind of got it, but it's only sinking in now, perhaps years later, why this is so important. And I think that it is so important, namely because, or I'm realizing it now, because of the number of difficult conversations actually that I have avoided having. And what I realize is that when you're willing to do the tough thing, and you're willing to, this is not even about confrontation. It's just you're willing to be uncomfortable because you know 9 times out of 10, the thing that you want to say is going to make somebody else feel uncomfortable. And because you're a nice person, because you care, because you love people, because you also, let's be real, you want people to like you. You don't want people to think badly of you. It is super easy to bury your head in the sand, super easy to justify not saying the thing and pretend it's because it either doesn't matter, it's not that important, or you don't like confrontation. And that attitude doesn't serve anyone. It doesn't really matter. It's not even particularly in your business. It's like whether we're talking business or life, the same thing is true. And the problem when you are not willing to have these conversations, but you know in your heart that you're supposed to, is number one, the energetic leaks. It means that your container when it comes to receiving is being compromised all of the time. Because you have leaky energy in the places where you should be and could be being more authentic, you're essentially lying. And so that compromises the integrity of your container, which means it's not as easy for you to receive, because even if you dress it up as I am trying to protect this person's feelings, you know that you are not being trustworthy, even if the breaking of trust is related to yourself. So energetic leaks. The second is the amount of brain space it takes up thinking about not having the conversation. It's like it's very rare that you can just completely bury it. And even when we're burying it, it's still there. Like newsflash, it is still there. It's just hidden. So it's still impacting your behavior. It's still impacting the way that you view yourself. It's still impacting the way that you show up in the world. You're just not giving it attention, but it's still there. But more frequently than not, it's taking up brain space. You're thinking about how to continue avoiding having the difficult conversation, or you're thinking about what you would say or how you could say it if you did decide to step forward and then you decide to retreat, and you're playing this game of hokey cokey with yourself in your head with an imaginary conversation that you know that you need to have that you're not having. It's like, do you know how much creativity you could be responsible for if you've had that additional space? Like, are you aware? And then thirdly, and this really ties into number one as well, is that you just don't trust yourself as much. You know yourself. You are experiencing yourself as being less than trustworthy because you are not honoring your deepest desire to tell the truth about a situation, your truth, your perspective. And so what happens then is that resentment and frustration seeps in. And whether you choose to direct that at yourself, which is often what people do, or externally, just as frequently, start to get annoyed with the person for all of the things that they're doing that have absolutely nothing to do with the thing that you really want to sort out, because you don't have the balls to address it, everything else becomes a problem. You start picking holes, either publicly or internally, at who they are, what they're doing, because you are not showing up for yourself. And so I share all of this from a place of really wanting to invite you to consider, where do I need to have a difficult conversation right now? Where am I avoiding being in my truth because I'm afraid? And where am I no longer willing to tolerate avoiding that conversation? And so then when you've found the place, let's freaking go for it. And I'm going to share with you four steps that are, this may be the compassionate communication method, maybe. And if it's not, it's certainly heavily, deeply inspired by it. I also have done a lot of work around powerful communication with Melanie Ann Leah in her Alpha Femme program, or Alpha to Alpha program. She has her own communication method. They're kind of overlapping. But anyway, I've broken this down into the four steps that I use most frequently now when it comes to my communication and communicating difficult conversations. And I always notice the difference between how things are received when I give this my intention and attention versus when I just forget. When I just forget and just speak it normally. And the former always gets better results. It always lands better with the person who is receiving. It always feels better when I am delivering, because I think that it just comes from a kinder place. So where you start when you have a difficult conversation that needs to be had is with actually what you love about the person, what you think is great about the person, what you think is great about the situation or the experience that you have with this person on a day-to-day basis. Why? Because who doesn't want to hear good things about themselves? Why? Because who loves it when somebody says, "Let me tell you, no, get out of my face." Like, I do not want you critiquing me straight off the bat. Like, let's show a little bit of love, you know. So what do you love about the person? If this is a conversation, and I'm thinking very specifically about a conversation I had to have this morning with somebody actually that I don't know very well, and it would have been so much better if I'd have been able to say, "Hey, listen, I really understand where you're at right now, and I really admire everything that you're doing and everything that you've done to get into this space. Like, it is really, really special. I think that you are really, really incredible." Like, if I'd have started our conversation like that, as opposed to, "Hey, guess what? I've been thinking about this thing and it's just not working anymore." Even though they took what I said fine, because facts and the whole context of the situation, it was facts. However, it would have been so much nicer to be able to deliver the loving part of the message first, which was absolutely grounded in truth. So what is it that you love about them, or what do you like about the situation? Start with that. Step two, what is the vision that you have for you and the person in the future? So you can see how this works across both life and business. It's like, for the person that I spoke to earlier, what I could have said is, and I did say this, just not in this order, I am so excited to be able to continue this conversation in the future. I think that in about 3 or 6 months' time, you are going to absolutely be in the place for us to be laughing and celebrating and congratulating on all of the things. Like, it is going to be amazing. And so paint the picture of what it is that you see for the relationship, what it is that you see for the experience, or where you see the business partnership, whatever it is, in the future. And whether they are on the same page or not, again, it really reinforces the good energy before you go in and deliver the thing that does not feel so good. And so that is step three. What is the issue? So you're saying, I see this incredible future for us in this way, this way, and this way. And what is also true is right now, that feels challenging to get to because of X, Y, and Z. And so for me, what I did say is that right now, this doesn't feel completely in alignment, because this is the goal of this vehicle, and this doesn't feel aligned. So you talk about what the issue is. And from a compassionate communication perspective, it is always about, this is how I feel. When this situation happens, I feel like this, not this is what you have done to me, or this is what you have made me feel. It's like, when this fact, insert fact, happens, I feel a certain kind of way. And this is the way that I feel. So you're expressing your experience, you're expressing your feelings, you're expressing your experience of the situation. Step four, this is a really important step. And if you do not have this fourth step, like if there is nothing there, ask yourself whether you even need to be having this conversation. And that's really important. Ask yourself whether you really even need to be having this conversation if there is no step four. Step four is your request. What do you want to happen instead? Or what would you like them to consider? So this feels out of alignment. However, when X, Y, and Z happens, I would love for you to come back to me and for us to continue the conversation. Or, like I said, I would love to revisit this in January and we can pick up this conversation where we left off. So if you don't have a request, it is not the person who, they don't have a problem. You're bringing a problem to them. And so you need to know what it is that you would love for them to do in response to the problem, rather than just being like, I don't like this. This is what kids do. I don't like this. It's your fault. And it's like, what would you like them to do? And then, I haven't written step five, but step five is detach. So when you're having a difficult conversation without expectation of the way that somebody needs to respond, you leave space. You leave space for what is to be what is. When you are having a conversation with somebody and you need them to respond in a certain way, you create a contraction, which makes it very, very difficult for people to leave feeling like a win-win. And what I would say is that most frequently, in my personal experience, a win feels like being heard. And when you structure a conversation in this way, you are heard. When you're shouting, when you are over talking, when you're only thinking about the next thing that it is that you need or want to say, it's very rare that you are going to be heard, because frequently, not always, but the person you're speaking to will mirror your behavior, which is prioritizing self at all costs. And it's interesting, because there's nothing wrong with prioritizing yourself in the context that I've just shared with you, because there is the infusion of emotional intelligence that people respond to super powerfully and super potently, But when that emotional intelligence is missing, it's very easy to be in a child archetype where you're just like, no, no, I don't like you when you do this. Stop it. And the other person's like, bog off. We don't want that. So those are the five steps. What do you love about them? Step two, what's the vision that you have for your future? Step three, what is getting in the way of that now? So what is the problem? Step four, what is the request that you have? Step five, detach from them needing to respond to the request in any certain way. So your number one focus gets to be being in acceptance of how it is that person responds. And then from that place, you get to choose what happens. You get to choose whether you still are in a relationship. You get to choose whether you still want to be present. You get to choose whether you still want to be friends, have fun, and all of that jazz. And I know that when I have used this, particularly in close relationships, for me, what was way more important than the request being honored is really feeling heard. And what is interesting is often when you are really heard and you position your difficult conversation in such a way, frequently, but not always, the person that you're speaking to wants to honor the request anyway, because they don't feel attacked. So this is my contribution for the day. I really want to encourage you to revisit, where am I avoiding having a difficult conversation right now because I feel scared? And I would love for you to have the conversation and then come back and let me know like what the verdict is. And please remember that it is faith plus action that equals miracles.
Thank you for listening to Infinite Receiving with me, Susie Ashworth. I'd love to share with you my Infinite Receiving activation audio. Go to susieashworth.com/activate-infinite-receiving.